So this is the last in our series of We Are Family. Think about what it means to be the church family and how Jesus describes the church as a family. That's how he describes it. And then if you hear it in the first week, we looked at how Jesus calls us to community. That being a follower of Jesus is something you don't do in isolation or on your own. Being a follower of Jesus is something we do together with other people. Jesus calls people and he asks them to join him in community. But he goes further than that. He calls it not just community, but he calls it family. And we looked at that first week at how in that culture, family wasn't just something how we would look at it today. Family was something which was what's called a strong group society, where actually family was everything. And that you made your life choices based around what was best for your family group. And it's quite hard for us to hear that in a Western culture because that's not what we live by. But actually, Jesus' call to community was really strong, really, really powerful. And so we heard that, and then we unpacked in Acts 2 some of the characteristics of the life of the church. Emily unpacked that for us, about what the early church looked like, that this early group of followers of Jesus, what that looked like together, how they prayed together, how they studied the word together, how they shared life together, what the characteristics of that were. We then looked at kind of what it means for us as a Baptist church to do life together as a Baptist church. Why is this a Baptist church? What does that mean? What does coming here mean as opposed to going to a Church of England church or a Catholic church, and why we do church the way we do? We then looked last week at how do we find our place in the life of the community? How do we share what God's given us to build up the family? And we looked at how the Bible talks about how we have all the different gifts, skills and abilities that are there for the building up of the whole church. And that part of what we are called to do as family is to share those gifts and skills with each other for the building up of each other. It says in Ephesians 4, to equip the saints for the works of service. Saints there is being a fancy word for believers. It's saying we're here to equip each other for works of service, to share what God has done in our life with other people. In Hebrews, it says this, Hebrews 10, 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from our guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And that verse there in verse 24, and let's consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That's what we're doing over Lent. We're spurring each other on for love and good deeds amongst us. That's our Lent challenge. But it says, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. You see, because we live in a culture now where it's very, very individualistic. It's all about what's best for you. We looked at that in our first message of this series. If you weren't here, check it out, about what society says today and what society says in Jesus' day. We live in a very individualistic culture where we put ourselves first. And in a church context, in a faith context, because you can now instantly online get the best Bible teachers, the best worship music, you can get the best of everything online, you can kind of think, I don't need to go to church. Because actually, it's not as good as what I can get online, which may be true. But actually, there is a calling from Christ for us to gather together with other believers. And you can't get that on your computer at home. There's something really powerful when we gather together as the people of God. We are called to be with others. In Genesis, the first thing that God creates that isn't good is that man is alone. And the idea is saying that we are called to be in community. So he creates Eve. And that's just kind of a symbolic story that speaks about how we are made for community. We're not made for isolation. We're made to be together in community. In the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, there's this bit that says, often read at weddings, Two are better than one. That when someone falls over, there's someone else there to pick them up. It says a threefold cord is not easily broken. Say, when there's community, it's stronger than you on your own. The community is fundamental to how God sees us doing life together. In Isaiah 40, there are the words we sang this morning. The words of that song, Strength Will Rise, as we wait upon the Lord. Isaiah 40 says this. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. What's interesting about these verses is about the idea of waiting on the Lord. The thing about being in the presence of God, where we draw strength from who he is by being in his presence. What's interesting is if you look at the Hebrew word there for the word wait, it doesn't just mean wait. It means to hope, but it also means to gather together. And it also, and in that idea of gathering together, it means to bind together. What it's saying is those who gather together before God in his presence renew their strength. That's wow. See, there's power in the life of community. When you gather together, it's from the gathered community that you draw strength to be able to be renewed by God. And so this is the Old Testament speaking, but if you look at the New Testament idea of what church is about equipping and building each other up, it's the same idea that we gather together, we share life together in order to be able to build each other up, to renew our strength. Something happens when we come together and we share what we have. It creates something more than what we have on our own. This is why doing church on your own at home via the best sermons, the best worship, the best everything you can get, but not gathering with other people will never ever grow you as a Christian fully. Because one of the key things about community, which we looked at in our first week when we looked at it, is that community reflects the nature of God. And God is community in diversity, in unity. And for you to grow as a believer of Jesus, one of the most fundamental things to the idea of community is the fact that we are not the same. We are diverse. Look at the disciples. You had Simon the Zealot. He is a Jewish zealot who is wanting revolution for the Jews against the Romans. And then you've got Matthew the tax collector who's collecting money from Jews to give to the Romans. They would hate each other. And Jesus says, come follow me together. That the community is meant to be diverse. Because only in our diversity do we fully find the reality of who we are and what the whole looks like. Hence why Genesis says it's not good for man to be alone. You need male and female. You need both together for the whole to be complete. You need both. So as a simple illustration of this, I just thought I'd bring some ingredients from my cupboard at home. We've got eggs. We've got sugar, we've got flour, we've got bicarbonate of soda. All these ingredients on their own, some of them are quite nice. The sugar on its own, not too bad. Flour on its own, not so nice. Baking powder, really not good for you. Eggs, raw eggs, maybe not so good. You need all of these to make a cake, to make something beautiful, to make something that is good and great and something that is greater than the sum of its parts. All of us are the different ingredients that are needed for the growing of all of our faith together. When you put them together, you put them in an oven, it starts off as a sloppy mess. And as it binds together and as it cooks in the heat of the oven, it rises. It grows. So if you think about the idea of what community is for us and what church is for us, it's the idea of we come together, we gather, we bring all of our messiness, we slop it all together. We mix it all in together. It doesn't look like much. But we put it into the presence of God, the heat of the oven, into the presence of God, and something starts to rise. Something starts to change. And that messy sloppiness suddenly becomes something beautiful and tasty and great that you can share with other people. That's what church is like. It's like that cake. You need all those bits together. On your own, you're just one bit. But you might need some other bits from somewhere else to help you grow, to help you rise up. Those who gather together renew their strength. They will rise on wings like eagles. You are a cake ingredient. You need other people to help you become all that you have the potential to be. That's the purpose of gathering together in the presence of God. It's like the oven for the cake. You mix it all in together and it rises. It changes. Something happens. But as church, yes, we are called to gather. Yes, we are called to come together and share that love together so we can grow together. But we're also called to go. The Bible says we're called to go. We've been looking at this over the last umpteen weeks of this year, of the idea that mission, the idea of the going of God, is not just something that the church does en masse, as kind of like as a big block, and we all go out. It's every one of us, everybody, everywhere, every day. That's what we're called to be as a church. You taking who you are, the strength that you have gained from being part of the community of the church, gathering together in the presence of God, rising up on wings like eagles, you take that out, you take a slice of that cake with you, and you share it with the world where you are. It's the people that you meet. And here at the front, remember we've got all these acetates at the front here. These are all the places that we talked about are our front line, the place where we meet the world every day, where we spend most of our time engaging with people who maybe don't know Jesus yet. That's where we're taking the slice of cake to. That's what we're taking it out to, those people. So we gather together in order to strengthen ourselves as we are called to go. Our vision statement comes from the beginning of Acts, where Jesus calls the disciples to go out. And so our vision statement comes from, he said to them, this is Jesus, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And our vision statement is, taking from that, only God knows the authority of all things that will happen, so we have to trust him, we trust the Father. He says you need to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, so we have received the Spirit, and then we're called to go out to the whole world and tell the story of the Son. So our vision is, trust the Father, receive the Spirit, tell the story of the Son. Jesus is saying, you are called as a family, as a people of God, to go. This is Jesus. He goes back up to heaven after this. Acts begins, you're thinking, great church, you're going to go out and you're going to change the world. Acts chapter 2, they're in Jerusalem. It's a good start. He says, go to Jerusalem. They're in Jerusalem, they're being church, many things are happening. We talked about that in Acts chapter 2, end of that, about what church is like, the characteristics of the early church. It's fantastic. Acts chapter 3, they're still in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 4, they're still in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 5, they're still in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 6, they're still in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 7, they're still in Jerusalem. And it's not until we get to Acts chapter 8 that suddenly something changes. And what changes for the church is they've got really good at being church. They got really good at being the family. They got really good at being the cake, but they're not letting anyone else eat it. They're not sharing it with anyone. They've become really good at being who they are. And people are getting saved, and it's good, and it's great. But the vision Jesus said was Jerusalem, yes, great Jerusalem. You're doing Jerusalem, fantastic. And then Judea, that's the region. Samaria, that was a cultural difference. So that was going cross the cultural boundaries that you would normally experience. And he says, and then goes to the whole world. We've got seven chapters into Acts, and they've stayed in Jerusalem. They've got really good at being church. And then something happens. Stephen gets killed for his faith. Chapter 7. And suddenly, persecution comes to the church. And it says, beginning of Acts chapter 8. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Do you hear that? Judea and Samaria. We go back to what Jesus said. In Jerusalem, in the region of Judea, over the cultural barriers of Samaria, something happens and suddenly they are scattered out into the region. They're scattered out into over cultural boundaries. And it goes on to say in verse 4 of chapter 8, those who have been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Those who have been scattered preached the word wherever they went. So suddenly what we see is something has shifted and changed. Suddenly the comfy coziness of Jerusalem, they're kind of going, yeah, we've got this, yeah, we're going to hang out here. Something has changed and suddenly they're being scattered out. They're suddenly being forced into the mission that God always had planned for them. But rather than going and doing it, they had to wait till something shifted and changed and broke their understanding of what they were doing as church so that they could be scattered out into the whole world. You go a little bit later on in Acts chapter 11, and it says in chapter 11, verse 19 of Acts, now those who have been scattered by the persecution that had broken out when Stephen was killed traveled far and wide. They went to Cyprus and Antioch, spreading the word of God. So suddenly you've got, this persecution has led them from Jerusalem. It's all great and wonderful. Persecution's broken out. Suddenly they've been scattered out into Judea, into the cultural divide of Samaria, and into the ends of the earth. We are called to be scattered out into the world. We're not meant to just sit and spend all of our time in Jerusalem. We gather together to renew our strength, but in order to be able to be scattered out in the week. This is a fueling station for you for the rest of your Monday to Saturday. You come here to get fueled up, but where you're called to be, your mission is where you find yourself day by day, where you've been scattered out to. And it's so easy in, culturally in church, it's been, what's the church doing missionally? What's the mission of the church? It's going, well, actually, it's you. It's you in your family, in your workplace, on your street, being a witness for Jesus, being the hands and feet of Jesus, helping people, sharing the goodness of God wherever you go. That's the mission. And when we just try to make it all something about the church, what happens eventually is it will fail you. And you'll get grumpy with the church because it doesn't do what you think it should do. When adverse situations have come, that's when things shift and change and break and suddenly God scatters us out. I heard a great thing by a writer called Richard Rohr, who talks about division in the church. And he talks about how it's so easy to see it negatively, of going, oh, a church is split. And you look over the church history and you go, you've got the split of the Eastern Church and the Western Church. You've then got the split between Roman Catholics, and you've got the split between the Protestant Church and all these other denominations, blah, 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 blah. And he just puts it as going, God often uses a split in the church in order to grow his kingdom because there's then more churches. It's the adverse circumstance, although it's not good, God uses it as a way of scattering us out even further. Further and further and further, so that actually people can experience more of God's love and kingdom. See, actually, where you find yourself day by day, you might be there because of choice. It's a workplace that you've chosen to be in. It's a street you've chosen to live on. But often we find ourselves in adverse situations that scatter us out and put us in positions where God has divinely appointed conversations or opportunities for us to share Jesus. I'll give you some examples from my week this week. This week, I had a meeting in Stafford. Got in the car, I thought, I know, I will avoid the traffic on the M6, I'll go on the M6 toll road. Driving up the M6 toll road, having a fun time thinking, yes, I'm avoiding all of the traffic, brilliant, there's no one on the thing, just driving along. I start seeing the toll booth and go, where's my wallet? Oh, I have left my wallet at home. So I was like, I don't know what happens in this situation when you drive up to a toll booth and you haven't. Normally I drive past, I put my card past the little contactless bit and just drive through. It's like, I've done that for years now. So I then drove into a counter where there was a person. I drove up and went, I'm so sorry, I've lost my wallet. So this lady was like, okay. And I was like, so how does that work? And she's like, well, we'll send you a bill out. And that's fine. I was like, that's great. Brilliant. So I was chatting to her in this booth. And she said, hey, what's your address? So I started telling her my address. And she goes, oh, Sheldon Yardley area. And I went, yeah, yeah. I said, yeah, I work for a church there. I'm the minister in Yardley. She goes, oh, I used to live just outside of Yardley in Sheldon. I don't live anymore, but I used to live there. Oh, you're a minister of a church? Oh, my parents used to go to church. That was the end of that conversation. You go, okay. And then she was like, oh, have a good day. But going, I wonder what seed that might have planted as a reminder to her of actually something about faith. An adverse situation led me to be scattered to share as a divine appointment with someone who I would never have normally had contact with. So we can see persecution is a really bad thing and a horrible thing, but actually, your adverse situation can often be the greatest opportunity for you to meet new people for you to share Jesus with. Another example, a few weeks ago, I was encouraged trying to buy a new computer for the back of church. Spent hours of research and planning on this, was in the shop talking to the salesperson, having a long conversation about it, decided on the final thing we're going to do. He goes, great, we talked about all the packages, all the things that might go with it, all the software, all the bits and pieces. He rings it all up. I'm over in Shirley, and he goes, oh, John, this is the only computer we haven't got in stock. I was like, oh, I've spent literally half a day in this shop. I want to scream. He goes, oh, if you want to get it today, you're going to have to go to the other side of Birmingham. I thought, I've already spent this much time on it already. I'll drive across the other side of Birmingham. So I drive across the other side of Birmingham. I walk into the other shop and say, I know exactly what I want, and it's this, 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 and this. The sales guy goes, oh, okay. We started chatting. He goes, oh, so what's it for? And, oh, it's for a church. Really? I used to play drums at the church when I was a kid. Oh, okay. So we start having a long conversation about church. I invite him to come along here. He hasn't been, but I invite him to come along. The adverse situation of it not being able to buy it in that shop in that moment when I was so angry and so frustrated led me to have to go somewhere else. In that moment, I had that divine appointment to have a conversation with someone about church. Another example for you. Just towards the end of my sabbatical, I went to A&E because I wasn't very well. Sat in A&E for 8 hours. Whew, it was good. I sat there having a conversation with this lady who was there with her daughter and her daughter's friend who was actually there to be seen by the doctors. We struck up a conversation and started having a conversation. It was going swimmingly, this conversation, and so I mentioned that I was a minister of a church, at which point the conversation shut down and she did not want to talk to me at all. And she went her separate way, I went my separate way. I tell you that story because it's not always amazing. You've scattered the seed out, but not everyone will be interested. But what you're called to do is sow seeds. If you think about that word scatter, to scatter out, Jesus tells some parables about scattering seed. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like someone, like a farmer who goes out and scatters seed. He says, that's the word of God. Some of it falls on stony ground. Some of it falls amongst the weeds. Some of it, though, falls on good soil, and it grows and it produces fruit. You're not called to make everyone become a Christian. You're just called to share Jesus wherever you go. And God might use adverse situations in your life to create divine appointments for you to share God's word with someone else. It could be you've got to go to the hospital for something. You think, oh gosh, it could be someone there. It could be you forget your wallet and you're having a conversation at a toll booth with someone. It could be you're in the petrol station and you're filling up and you're just chatting to the person behind the counter. You never know when God's going to use you as a divine appointment to share him in the world. I was really struck the other day, I was chatting to a minister friend of mine, and he said this. Jesus calls the disciples to be fishers of men, or fishers of people if we want to be PC. Fishers of people. He doesn't call them to be catchers of people. The call to do is fish. Fishing is something you have to do with patience, and it takes time. It's not catching fish, it's fishing. Sometimes the place that you are, the people you're talking to, it will take years. It will take a long time for them to come to know anything about Jesus or to even ask that first question. But you're called to faithfully be a fisher of people. You're not there to ram it down their throat. You're there to scatter the seed. Some of it will fall on good soil. But you know what? In that story of the parable, most of the seed falls on bad ground. But some of it falls on good soil. And that's where there's fruit. Jesus tells another parable. This is in Matthew 13. It starts with the parable of the sower. Another one he goes on to. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's a small seed, but when it's planted in the ground, it grows up and becomes the biggest of trees. And we go, oh, that's nice. It's about something small becoming big. That's lovely. But what you need to understand about that culture is that mustard isn't a garden plant that you kind of want. It's a weed. What he's saying is the kingdom of heaven is like a weed. Once it's in the ground, nothing can stop it. It pops up over here, and then you try and squash it over there, and it pops up over here. The idea, it's the scattering out. It's the fact that you never know where God's put you to spring up the kingdom of heaven. Nothing will stop it. But little you is there to be part of the kingdom spreading in this world. Directly after this, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a woman who is making some bread. She makes this dough. And she puts a little bit of yeast into the dough. And it works throughout the whole thing. Jesus is saying, you might feel that you're on your own, that you're small. You can't make a difference. But he says, look at yeast. Yeast is something that is so small, and yet it impacts the entire loaf of bread. You are scattered out to impact the world where you are. We gather together to renew our strength. So in our scattered lives, we are empowered to share Jesus. You have no idea the people you meet day by day, whether they are a divine appointment from Jesus. If you start viewing every person that you meet from now on as a potential divine appointment, you're there to scatter some seed. You're there to share what God is doing. This is why I say mission isn't a program of the church. There were things that we will choose to do together because it grows community, but also it is good for us to do things together on mission. The things that we do as a program, so things like we do Welcome Center, we do Boys Brigade, Girls Brigade, other things like that, they are things that we do to create front lines with people we wouldn't normally meet, to manufacture front lines where we can meet people. But ultimately, the biggest mission is all of us. Everybody, everywhere, every day in what we do. And so what you need to understand about the church family is that church is both gathered, but it's also scattered. This is just part of what church is. The majority of church isn't all the activities we saw in that video. The majority of church is you in your everyday life experiencing the grind of life, but being the hands and feet of Jesus, being salt and light, having an impact in the world that you're in. And even your adverse situations can be the opportunity for you to have a divine appointment with someone to have a conversation. Take every opportunity to throw out the seed. Not everything will take root, but some of it will. The Evangelical Alliance, the Church of England, and an organisation called HOPE did some research about 2 years ago. And they discovered this. 60% of people like Christians. That's nice. They think Christians are a good thing in society. Brill. Good starting point. Do you know what they discovered? 1 in 5 adults, when asked if a Christian friend of theirs shared their faith, would want to know more. Would want to know more about their faith. In the same survey, they found out that 1 in 5 adults believe, this is non-Christians, believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So think of 5 people that you know who aren't Christians. Statistically, one of them really wants to know more about Jesus. 1 in 5. Jesus talks about 4 places that he scatters seed. And only one of them takes root. That's across a quarter. Maybe not quite as good as that, but 1 in 5 isn't bad. 1 in 5 adults want to know more about who Jesus is and what the journey of discipleship is about. That's incredible. I assume no one wants to know about Jesus at all. But a fifth of our population want to know more about who Jesus is. So if you have five divine appointments in one day where you meet someone, the chances are that one of them wants to know more about Jesus. So why wouldn't you scatter some seed and see what takes? Not everything will take. Don't get disheartened. Like the lady in the A&E situation. Still told her as a vicar, she did not want to talk to me at all. But maybe it'd be the lady at the toll booth instead. He was like, oh, my parents used to go to church. What seed might that have planted? We are scattered out to share the good news of Jesus. Not just in Jerusalem, in our church with each other. Not just in our region. Not just over cross-cultural boundaries, but to the whole world. We don't do that by staying in this building. We do that by the midweek, everything that we do, all the stuff that we do when we're not here. But we gather to be strengthened, to be equipped, to be encouraged, to learn how to love each other in this place well, so that we can share that and scatter that out with the world. So if you remember nothing else from this morning, it's this. We're a cake, share a slice. That's what we're called to do. One in five. I'll share one last statistic with you, which is this, which I find really sad. The stats are, if you're a non-Christian and you become a Christian, within 5 years, all your friendships are Christian. And you go, oh, that's nice. Problem with that is you're then not engaging with non-Christians. Don't let your whole world be just Christians. You need to know some non-Christians. You need to see all those divine appointments that are in your life. So there's a choice between, I say this and I'm about to shoot myself in the foot now, oh, I could do this in church, or join your sports club, or join your community group. Join the community group because you're far more effective serving as being a scattered member of the church in that place, potentially, than you are in here. Preferably, do both, if you can. But the church is both gathered and scattered. Even when we're scattered, we're still family. We're still there to equip and encourage each other. But we are gathered to be scattered. Not gathered to be, oh, this is nice. Mission is everybody, everywhere, every day. Let's pray. So, Father God, we thank you that you call the church to gather, to renew strength in order to scatter. So, Father God, we just pray that you would help each and every one of us know that day by day, every person we meet is potentially a divine appointment. That even in the adverse circumstances of life, that might scatter us into a new place that we would never have gone otherwise. So Lord, I pray that we would together as a family be a great encouragement to each other as we gather. That we renew strength in each other as we gather. But Lord, ultimately, we would be able to be empowered in our scattering. So we are like yeast in the dough of the world, making an impact for your kingdom and your glory. And Lord, we just ask this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.